Okay, so the second will be an open lab. Okay, and so you can come and work on stuff and everything, and I will post the final prior to class starting on the second. I'll probably post it actually on the first, so that you can look at the final and ask me any questions you have on the second. Okay, now there will also be open labs on the third and the fifth in here, because I'm turning that whole week into open lab week. So there'll be open labs on the third and on the fifth. The only class I'm a little iffy about is my 9:30 class, whether I will get everything done or whether I'm going to end up taking a half an hour of the open lab on the third. And just say the open lab will start at 10 as opposed to 9:30, and I'll talk for a half an hour if I don't finish everything this week in the 159 class. I think I can, but we'll see. So I will post your final on the first. There will be open labs on the second, the third, and the fifth. And the final is due by whatever time they list as the starting time for the final. It is due by the time they list as the starting time for the final. So if they say the final is at 10:30 on Monday the 9th, then the final has to be in by 10:30 on Monday the 9th. And I really do take off points if it's late. So it has to be in. So obviously I would send it on the 8th as opposed to the 9th at 11:59, okay, or whatever. So it is an open note, open book final, and I will post it. You have a week to do it, and it has to be in. Homework is technically due the last day of classes, which is the 2nd, and I would like the majority of stuff in by the 2nd, but I will take a few things up until the 5th, which is the last day of classes for my other classes. Okay, so I will take some stuff up till the 5th, but then I still take it, but I don't promise you I will correct it. So I will calculate your grade, maybe with it, maybe without it, depending on what time kind of time frame I have. If you pass it in, I will eventually get to correcting it and I can change your grade. Okay, but I'm not promising that anything that comes after the 5th will be looked at by me, because I'm under time pressures at that point too. Okay? Questions on that? Okay, so that's the schedule. I am pretty much caught up. A bunch of you, I sent back comments on the webpage. Especially if you did a bunch of stuff that was kind of too simple. I said add a little stuff, make it a little more complicated, add another page or something like that. You'll still get a grade on it, but it won't be a great grade if I get, you know, essentially if I don't get some of the kind of jazzy stuff that we did later on, then the grade will not be as good. Okay. Now, a bunch of these articles that I put up there, I want you to do some research on this week, and I haven't given you any homework assignment this week, mainly because I want you to do some research on this stuff. And this stuff is going to show up on the final, so I would take the week to do some research on it. So this is a reading week, as opposed to a doing week. Okay, so one of the things that I want you to look at is promoting your website, marketing strategies, and all of those sort of things. I've given you some articles here. Feel free to do some research on it. But what I'm basically looking for is how you get people to go to your site. Okay, I create this wonderful site. So, How do I get people to go to it? Okay? And that's what I want you to look at, is to do the research on how you go about doing it. And the article, for example, this is Marketing Strategy for 2016, 10 Ways to Simplify. Okay. Use social media, media, and don't consider mobile only. And basically, there's just a bunch of stuff in there. And I think this one was promoting your website. Okay. And this is how to promote your website. So basically, what I want you to do research on is, how do you get people to go to your site? I don't have that problem. You're a captive audience. If you want to pass the course, you go to my site. I don't have to worry about it. But if you put up a site, how do you get people to go to your site? How do you attract people to your site? And beyond that, how do you get the search engines to promote your site and get your site to go on? So I want you to basically do some research on that, figure that out, and I guarantee you that's going to be a question on the final. Okay, but this is your week to do some research on that. Okay, search engine optimization. And this gets into, for example, if you go here, this is a whole kind of book on search engine optimization and how to get things going to your site. Okay. Then I put up an article about web ethics, a little bit about searching, and information about evaluating the information you find at a website. And those tend to be some from a variety of colleges talking about how you decide whether a site is reputable or not, and whether you think you should pay any attention to this site. Okay, and I don't remember which was the better one of these, but evaluating websites and, you know, does it give the author the date of publication, the edition, does it kind of give information that lends it credibility? Nowadays, more than in the past, everybody seems to think that their opinion is more important than fact. And so you get an awful lot out on the web with people expressing their opinion. Based on knowledge or not, doesn't matter. Their opinion is important. Well, their opinion isn't too important to me most of the time. I want facts backing up the opinion, not just I thinks. And so that's what you have to look at to see if the site is providing reliable information. Okay, and so that information tends to be available most readily when you go to a college site, and they tend to give you what you should evaluate before you use it for research for the college. Okay, questions on that? So that's your assignment this week, is to basically do some research on this, and it's going to show up on the final where I'm going to ask you to tell me how you can get decent placement for your website. Okay? And I want you to write, I'm going to ask you to write like a paper, I mean a page or something as part of the final, not just a paragraph. I want more research than that. Okay, the other thing that we're going to look at today is finishing up some DOM. Okay, so I'm going to go over and look at the JavaScript examples and finish up the DOM. So we're down here at DOM examples. Okay. Is DOM making sense to you? That was a question. One person nodded. The rest ignored me. Okay. All right. So we get down to, and I think I did just these bins at the beginning here, so I'm going to look at DOM events. Okay. And again, if I go back and come in here at DOM events, and this is kind of review from last time. If I run my mouse up here, I change the header. So I clearly had a mouse over event that changed the header. Okay, so again, watch it go out. I'm going to come back in. It says original header to change. I put my mouse up in that general area, and it changed it. The next one is I click on it, and it changed it. This one, I am adding the word, and I am tabbing off it, and it turns into capitals. I am adding the state, and I tab off it, and it changes to a whole word. So I am making serious changes to what I've got up there based on using DOM. And I did not have this open. So, if I come in here and do a view page source, I did it, guys. Okay, so on the top header, I had an on mouse over. So I have an H1 here. I gave it what I wanted it originally to show up here, original header to change. And then I had an on mouse over event. And my on mouse over event said this.html, this meaning this. Exactly that, the current thing, this line. Okay, so I am going to on mouse over change the inner HTML of this to revised header. So I'm changing the inner HTML to revised header. And then on the next line, I said on click, do a function. And the function is going to change it. So on click, I said, come down here and do another change, which is the name of this function, and send it this. In other words, the line that I'm right on. It receives it as got it, and it changes the inner HTML of this, which is another original header to change. And it changes it to another revision. Okay. So I'm just changing that. So I'm sending down the original as this. It's receiving it as got it. And is changing the inner HTML of got it to say another revision.
What would that be good for? Like, I don't understand why you would want to do that in the first place.
That's a really good question. I'm not real clear on why I understand why I want to do it in the first place. But if you decide that after somebody's gotten to a certain point in the page, you want to change something, you can do it. It's more, a lot of what we're looking at here is more, isn't this cool? However, I'm not sure how much of it is totally practical. And you're right. Do I ever really want to put the mouse over and change the header? Probably not. But isn't it neat that I can do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
so
it's interesting that you can do it, but I'm like,
why would I want to?
Yeah.
You know, so I get down to a certain page and I click on the page or something, and that means that I've already read something, so it checks off as already read. I don't know. But that... it's more to show you how this works. What Dom advertises itself is that it allows much more flexibility on the page, and it allows you to change the page, and it allows you to do all sorts of put things in different places and everything. It gives you a lot more power. And so I'm giving you examples of that power, some of which you don't want, some of which you do. So that's the best I can do.
Okay.
And then I have an HI, which has an ID of spot, which has the word. And then I said, enter your city. So I said, okay, I'm going to enter a city in there. And by definition, that is a change event, because I didn't put something, didn't have anything in there, so I'm putting something in, it's a change event. If I go in and put a different thing in there, it's also a change event. Okay, so on change, I do the function called upper convert. Okay, so upper convert says, get the thing that is called a city. And that's the input box where I'm entering the city. It's called a city. Get the thing called a city and assign it to the variable info. Okay. And then change the value of info to have the value of info converted to uppercase. So I'm changing it to uppercase. Okay, so I'm saying, take whatever the value of info is, convert it to uppercase, and make that the new value of info. Okay. And then when they put in the state, on blur means when I leave, I do the full state. And again, I have state info. And I said, if state info's value equals MA, in other words, I typed in MA, then change its value to Massachusetts. Else, if it has Rhode Island, change to Rhode Island. Else, change to other. Okay. And then I have an on-click event that's going to say hello to me. And it's going to take hello world and make it the inner HTML of the thing I call spot. Okay? And where's the thing I call spot?
Click? Where
it says click? I don't know. No,
the thing called
spot is up here. ID equals spot. Okay. So I am going to take that, and when I come back here and click, it changes spot to hello world. Okay. That probably being the most valuable thing on here, because there are times when I want to change something. So when I clicked, I made a change to what used to say third to now say hello world. And a lot of the examples that we've looked at have had nothing there. If I didn't have third there, I can just have a blank H1 and give it an ID, and this would work exactly the same way. That blank area would pick up hello world. But I put third there, and now third picks up hello world. But again, the big thing about DOM is that it gives you the ability to change the page. which you really don't have if you're just using HTML. You don't have the ability to manipulate the page as much and change what's on the page. And DOM gives you much more of that. And it gives you that because it lets you set up the IDs all over the place. And then getElementById allows you to go and change that spot, whatever that spot is, and you can change the inner HTML in it. So that line is probably the most valuable line in DOM, which is document, getElementById spot, look at the place ID the spot, change its inner HTML to say hello world. You know, that's probably the most significant thing, because it allows me to change what I've got up on the page to something else if I want to. Okay? So the page is less static. Question. Okay, DOM basic zero. I'm so proud of myself that I finally figured out how to do this. Okay. So anyway. And then I will promptly forget. So summer vacation is coming. It will be big agony when I come back in the fall. Okay. So here I have set up a couple of things. I have set up a division ID equals, and I put an ID in there. And I said that's going to be the code for the course and the name of the course. Okay? So I've got those up there. Now that means, and I don't think I did change that. But that means that I could change that area, okay? Because I've got an area that's set up with an ID, that gives me access to that area, and that means I can go in and change that area. And I didn't do it, but I could have, okay? And then I set a division. The next division is ID equals description, and I put a description there. Now, the next division does not have an ID, so I don't have the power over this third division, or second division, that I have over the one where I put the ID. Okay? These two I have IDs on. The third one does not have an ID. And so I don't have the power over that one. Okay. Now what I did is instead of changing it, I went in and said, okay, course info, I'm going to make course info equal to what was in course code. So I took and said, okay, get element by course code, take its inner HTML and put it in course info. So that meant I put CIS-122, Internet Developer, into course info. Okay? I could have also gone back and changed what was in that. I didn't. Instead, I took what was in that and I put it in some place called course info. Then I took what was in the description and I put it in a place called course description. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to write out a paragraph, and notice the paragraph is going to be red and twice normal size. And on the paragraph, I'm going to write the course, concatenated with course info, concatenated with, has a course description that starts out with, concatenated with course description. So I am grabbing information from two different places on the page, putting them together and writing them out again. Okay. So that means that by putting the ID there, I can go in and change this I can also go in and get it. Okay, and Dom gives me that power. It gives me the power to go in and change it. It gives me the power to go in and get it. And those are two really important things. Okay. Questions. And again, when do you want to do it? You may never want to do it. But what Dom gives you is that level of power. And that level of power comes with, I can now get something by ID. Okay? So if it's been ID'd, I can get at the inner HTML, meaning the HTML that's stored with that ID. I can get at it and change it. I can get at it and make a copy of it. I can get at it and do things with it. Am I making a sale? This one I think I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to. Yeah. If you are into programming and into all this stuff, I would go take a look at child nodes and node values at some point. I think this is the only one that I did that with. Child node 0 means the only thing that is in that particular course code. I didn't have anything broken up, so it's a child node of 0, and the value in that node. Notice that I did it the same way I did on the previous page, and then I redid it using this course node. If you are going to get into JavaScript heavily, you should look up how the nodes work. But essentially, I only have one thing in there, and so child node 0 means the first thing in an array. And the node value means the value that's there. And it's exactly the same thing as when I wrote inner HTML. It's another way of writing the inner HTML. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's kind of the next level up. But if you're interested in going to the next level up, I would start looking up information about this. A little past where I wanted to go in this course, or where I think we should go in this course. Okay, the next one, 1A. This one is, don't even begin to ask me why I don't want to do this. Okay, this is my webpage. And for some reason, I decided to show the code like this. Now, why would I want to do it? Because you can see the code at the same time that you can see the page. Isn't this neat? Okay. So I don't have to do a view source. We've got it right here. So after I did all of that sort of stuff, I said document.body equals all body. Okay, so everything in the body is equal to all body. And then I said, put up an alert that has allbody.html. So I put up the source. So I should do this with every program that I write because it gets me the source code being shown on top of the program, which is what I frequently want to do. But other than my specific use for this, I'm not sure why anybody'd want to do it. Okay. But I put up an alert that has the entire HTML in it. Okay. That was 1A, 2. Okay, this one is kind of interesting. Remember I said last time that I had get element by ID. And then we did an example where I said, get element, but this time they throw on an S by name. And I told you that this one sets up an array of all of the things, because name doesn't have to be unique. ID has to be unique. So get element by ID gets one thing. Get element by name can get multiple things, and it can put it in an array. And we looked at an example of this the last time. Then we also have get elements by tag name. And that also makes an array. It makes an array of everything with the same tag name. So if I want to see all of the paragraphs, I can say get elements by the paragraph tag name. If I want to see all the divisions or all the headers or all the what images or all the whatevers, I can do that. Okay. So we are going to look at this code. Note that I'm going to use DOM get elements by tag name. Okay, so I started out and I said get elements by tag name division. Okay, so it's going to set up an array of all the things that have a tag name of division. Okay, and you can see I've got how many? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 things that have a tag name of division. Okay, so it's going to set up an array of those four things. And so document get elements by tag name division is going to set up this array called result. Okay. And then I went down and I said, okay, document write course description colon, and then I said concatenate that with result one dot inner HTML. So what do I see when I do that? What does result one get me?
The first tag name, which would be
CRSCD? No, because it starts with zero. You got the right theory, but you forgot it starts with zero. So this one here is zero. Whoops. The first division I think I told it that I wanted that. The first division is this one, and it is, no, it decided to forget that I wanted that. Okay, let's try pressing that one more time. Yeah, that one's zero, that one's one. That one's two, this one is three. Okay, so I've got a table that is set up that has the first thing, second thing, third thing, fourth thing. Notice it takes a division even if I didn't put an ID on the division. Okay, so then when I said document write, the word course description is a literal, concatenated with result one's inert HTML.
Oh, so that would be the one right below it.
That's right. So it goes to descriptions, inner HTML, and you can see that that's what it did. So result one wrote that because one is, this course emphasizes, and that's why it wrote that. So I ended up making an array of divisions. This ended up with an array of divisions. Okay, array of divisions. And now I'm saying show me the first one and show me the inner HTML in that first one. Okay. If I change that to a 2, I will see the one below. If I change that to a 3, I'll see the last one. Okay. And then I said, okay, now I'm going to do a for loop to show all of the data retrieved with the result. Okay. So again, I said, document, get element by tag name, get elements. Notice there's an S there, and I always forget that when I'm writing it because I'm used to writing get element. But both on name and tag name, it's an S because it's setting up an array, which means it's getting multiples. And so they very cutely made it an S in there. Okay, whereas with ID, you only get one, so it says get element. Okay? I think that's a little too cute for me, but that's the way they do it. So, get elements by tag name makes an array of all of these divisions. And then I said document write the length. And you can't really see it too well over here, but on your screen you probably can. There's a 4 there. Okay? And that's how many there are. There's a 4 there. That says 4. Remember that length actually counts 1, 2, 3, 4. So length will count and tell me that there are 4. But when I index them, I index 0, 1, 2, 3. So indexes start with 0. Counting starts with 1. And you'd really think they could get their act together and make, but they don't. And this is true of most languages. I mean, you just want them to get their head together. Visual Basic used to let the programmer choose, and then that apparently became too much. And so that is not true anymore. So this length is right there, the 4. So length counts. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? But when I do the array, I get the 0, 1, 2, 3. So I get the 0, 1, 2, 3 up there with the array. Okay? So then I come in and I say, for I, which is the index that I'm setting up. Okay, so I'm setting up an index called I. And as I have mentioned before, I use I as opposed to count when I'm using for. When I use other loops, I tend to use count as a counter. When I use for, I tend to use I because way back when there were, you know, I used learned I. And you'll see that a lot of people did, because frequently a for loop has an index of I. And if they need two indexes, they become I and J. Okay. So, for I equals 0, that means I will start at 0, which is where I wanted to start if I wanted to go through the array. So it's starting at the right place. For I equals 0, and then I want to do it while I is less than result. Okay? And result is 4. Okay? Because result is how many divisions there were. So I want to do it while I is less than 4. And every time I go through, I want to add 1 to I. Okay? So I plus plus is the same as I equals I plus 1. and I could have written that there instead of the plus plus. I could have written I equals I plus 1. Okay, so that means it's going to start I out at 0. Every time it goes through the loop, it's going to add 1 to I. And it's going to do it as long as I is less than 4, because result is 4. And so it writes out the 4 things. The first thing says, what was, and the 0th one, CIS 122. The next one says, this course emphasizes. The next one says, note that I'm going. And the last one says, now I am going to. So it did it perfectly. It put the 4 division things inside. And then wrote them out. And again, you can ask, why do I want to do this? Because you can. Okay, that's why you want to do it clearly, is simply because you can. Again, it's simply making the point that you've got a lot more power, that you can go in and you can grab something and say, I want to change the third division, I want to change another division, I want to rewrite what was in the third division. I've got a lot more power than I had.
Okay.
Questions? Other than why I care. Questions? Does it make sense to you? Okay. As I said, you're the one I keep asking because you're the you're the brave one that ended up in this class with no other computer courses. Okay. If I click on change header, it changes the text. I believe it changes the font, if I'm remembering what I did here, and it certainly changes the color. Okay. So, I started out here, and when I click, I end up here, and yes, I did change the font. Okay. So on the click event, when I click on click, okay, so when I click the button on click, I said do change header. And change header said document.body.style.backgroundColor equals yellow, which is, this is the background color style for the body. And then I said, get element by ID header. Okay, now notice H1 is down there, and H1 is the name for this web page. And those are the words that I want to change. So I said, get element by ID, change the font family style to Verdana, and change the inner HTML to say web page showing use of DOM. Okay. So I went in and I changed the font and I changed the content both. Again, it's all about power. Yeah.
But do they have to be placed in a certain order inside the function? struggle with.
I don't think you do. I think, in fact, if you get it open, try it. I don't think there's anything about order to it.
Because none of them are interrelated, really. One of them is, the two of them are changed in the header, but I think you could change the content before you change the font.
So I don't think there's any problem with that. And the color is just separate. Now, there are a couple of CSS things where one has to be with another and things like that. So if those were the style things you were changing, then I think that might kick in. But even then, it's not as much order as having them both. Did anybody try this, moving it around? If you save my code as a something else, you can then go in and move it around. But I'm actually confident enough of my answer that I'm not going to do it.
Does it make any difference?
No, that was my pretty definite answer, but you never know.
Okay, here's a web page with images. And I've got two images on here. And notice that they're different images. Okay. Okay, this has got two images. And notice that it basically sets up a image array, even though I didn't tell it to. I put in two images, and now I can say document write, document images length, and it will count the number of images I have, and it comes back and tells me two. Then I said, okay, document images 0.id, and I want to write that out. And the ID is up for the first one, so it writes up. And then document images 1.id writes the ID for the second image, which is down. And then I told you the last time I modified this page, which was back in 2014. Okay. So what this shows you is that when I put in two images behind the scenes, it makes an array of images. And if I am using DOM, I can go in and grab the images. Or actually, I'm just using JavaScript, but I'm using the ID. I can go in and grab the images by their position in the array. So I am going in and finding the images based on their position in the array. Five has four images. So I set up two images, and then I did a document write and wrote the images again inside the script.
Okay. So out here in HTML, I wrote my images just like I always write my images. Then I went into a script and I did document write and I wrote the image from JavaScript. Okay, so I wrote the two images once in HTML, and that would be the top line, and then once from within JavaScript, and that would be the bottom line. And then I basically just added two things to what I had last time, so I still have the same things I had last time. Okay. But this is just to reiterate, here's how I write the images if I'm in HTML, here's how I write the images if I'm in JavaScript. I do a document write, and then I can put out the image. One of the ways. Okay. This is the first sentence in my division that I named first. Sentence I went to put in to replace my sentence. And then after we've finished doing this, I want to look at the quiz that was due. Okay, so I sat out and I did a division ID equals first. And then this is the sentence that was in that division. And then I have a script, and I said, here's the alert. And then I said, document get element by ID first. Change the inner HTML to this. This is the kind of thing that can be put in to be responsive to a user. If the user clicks something, if the user changes something, if the user does something, I can then change a direction to them. So I can have a direction, the user does something, and I change the direction because the user has done something and that would cause me to change it. In this case, I just changed it for the sake of changing it. And I put up an alert to stop things, basically, because otherwise it would have just changed it and I never would have seen the first thing. But if you want to hesitate the program, an alert will hesitate the program such that you can see what was there and then you can see what comes next. So that hesitates the program. Okay. Insert again. I don't even remember looking at this one. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. This one has an external JavaScript. Up until now, we've kept our JavaScript in the same program. But if you have some JavaScript that you want to do in multiple programs, better to make it external. So here I have said script, type equals text JavaScript, source equals, and I put the name of an external source. So I am now looking at an external source, and that external source is going to have the JavaScript that I need. So just like CSS can have an external source, so can JavaScript. Okay. Now if I click on this, there is the external source.
And let's see. Okay. I don't think that made a separate thing, did it? Oh, well. Now I think I've got everything. Except that I can't see. There. Yeah, I think I've got everything. Okay, so there's my external JavaScript. This is external JavaScript. So there it is. And if you click on it, you get to see it. And I've also got it separate out there such that you can bring it up separately if you want to. So there's my external JavaScript, and I got two functions, and in fact, I'm not even using the second function. On the next program that we look at, I will actually look at the second function. Okay. So I said here, this is text of some elements of DOM, and then I drop down into script, and I said document write, this is a paragraph that I'm going to use in my document. And then I said, okay, now insert into the paragraph, this is information. So I'm saying, go do that function. Insert into paragraph followed by parenthesis means go do that function. Okay? Now, in this case, it happens to be an external function. It happens to be on my external JavaScript. So it is a function located on my external JavaScript. So I am saying go do insert into paragraph. And insert into paragraph is that function right there in my external JavaScript. And I am sending it, this is a paragraph I'm going to use in my document. I'm sending it, this is the information. So when I send it, it is receive. Told you, I want fifth grade spelling. And it's been downhill ever since. Okay, so I received, this is the information. That's what I sent, and I received, this is the information. Okay, so that's what I received. I receive it as info. Then I set up a variable called stuff. And I said, okay, the variable called stuff is going to have a P for paragraph in it. Then the variable called stuff is going to have stuff, which is the P, concatenated with what I just sent over, which is this is the information. And then I did stuff equals plus equals, which means take what's in stuff. It's another way of saying take what's in stuff and concatenate it to the P. And then write stuff. And I wrote out, this is the information. Now, the simple way of doing it would have been to say document write, the paragraph concatenated with info, concatenated with closed paragraph. And that did exactly the same thing, which is why you see this is the information twice. But I wanted to show you this little bit of concatenating, because I said take stuff and make it a P. Now, on the next line, take what's already in stuff, which is the P, and concatenate info. And then on the next line, the plus equal means take what's already in stuff and concatenate the closed P. So those, these two lines, stuff plus info and plus equals, are two ways of concatenating one more thing onto stuff. There are two ways of increasing stuff. So stuff starts out with a P. On the next line down, I say take what's in stuff, which is the P, and add info. And on the next line down, I said plus equals, which means take what's in stuff and add in the closed paragraph. So that's two ways of doing it. And then the last line is, why would I bother with any of that? I'm just going to write out P plus info plus close P, and isn't that much easier? Okay. But there's a lot of information about how you can write that inside that one little subroutine. So then when the subroutine is done, I end the script, I write out this is below the script, and I'm all done. And I never use the second function. I was going to, but then I decided to use it in the next one. Questions? The plus equals is like the plus plus that comes down to you courtesy of C. And those are all kinds of parts of C that you encounter. Questions? Does that really make sense? I'm not getting a lot of reaction, folks. Wake up. Does that make sense? Neat. Okay, we've got one of them. It's making me work much too hard. Okay, I'm trying to figure out where I can place this, but I guess I can't. Okay, and now I messed it all up. I had it going so well. There it is, I think. Except that I can't read what's under it, which says it is an element node, which can also be called a node when you lay things out. All right, that didn't say all that much. And I did it again. Okay. Somebody want to come up and fix this for me? Where did the page go? No, I was only serious. I don't think we actually do want two of us working at once.
They're
all down
here. You're in the
wrong
one anyway.
Yeah, no, I know. She's actually coming up to help me. I was only kidding. I don't know that I can find what I wanted. There's that. I'm now in Visual Basic, and I have no idea how I got there. I just clicked on far too many things here, folks.
I always delete them so I don't have that.
And that's a smart thing to do. All right, so we start once more. We have that, and I actually took a picture of it right. And then I've got more here, and that's that. And then I've got external JavaScript, and that's that. And if I don't touch anything, well, I think we will be able to keep it. Okay. So, but thank you for trying. So this is a test of some elements. And then I wrote document write. This is a paragraph that I'm going to use in my document. And then I said go out and get information, which it did, and it wrote the information twice. And then I dropped down and said, this is the first paragraph within the division element node. So again, they're calling this a division, and they call things like that nodes. And I've got two paragraphs within the division. Okay? So I've got two paragraphs that can be called two element nodes, but I've got two paragraphs within this division. This is the first paragraph, this is the second paragraph. Then I've got a form with a button on it, and you don't need to have form, I just did it this way. And on click, I said using getID. Okay, so I have two functions that I am doing. On the first one was exactly like on my previous example, and I did this one. And the second function, I did this one. So the second function went and did using getID, and it didn't send anything. And it said, I'm going to set up a gutID, and it is going to have what was in try this. Okay? So try this is the division that contains two paragraphs. Okay? So when I click on see more, it is going to go and do that function. And gutid.innerHTML will say this is a paragraph from the function. So what do you think is going to change when I click on my button?
It's going to take out the last two lines and substitute whatever's in the inner HTML.
Okay. And whatever is in there is this is a paragraph from the function. And I got to get rid of my ink layer before it does anything. And so it got rid of, as he said, the two paragraphs, and it substituted in. Paragraph from the function. So you might have, for example, instructions about a calculation or something, and when they do the result of the calculation, you might want to change the instructions because they've done it and say something about, okay, now you've finished this, here's what I want you to do next. Okay. And then the last one actually has a restore on it. And so the function on this has a restore on it. And I broke the paragraphs up into two messages just because I wanted to be able to see them on the line. I didn't have to do that. So message and message one make up the first paragraph, and message two, message three make up the second paragraph. Okay, so I went back to document, get element by ID, try this, and I put in a paragraph containing message and message one, and a paragraph containing message and message two. So basically, this is a restore, which is why I called it restore get ID. This is a restore. Okay, so if I go back and look at the next one, which is again more two, it has a change, which changes it. Actually, let me go back and take a picture of it from the beginning. This is the beginning. I get rid of those two first paragraph, second paragraph lines when I change, and when I restore, I get them back. So restore does that next function, which sets up the two paragraphs again and brings them back for me. So, JavaScript function 2, nope. Okay, so there's JavaScript function 2. JavaScript function 2 is the restore, and when I click on the restore, it does that, which restores it. Okay. So I set up the two paragraphs that I wanted using two messages each, and then I just said, okay, make the inner HTML a paragraph with message and message 1 in it, concatenated with another paragraph with message 2 and message 3 in it. And I restored it. Yes, no, maybe. And then the last one that I'm going to look at, and then we're going to go back and look at the... How many of you finished the quizzes? The quiz? Finished writing the quiz? As in writing the quiz? Okay, only two of you. Then you know what I'm going to do? Actually, I'm going to finish this. And then instead of going over the quiz, I'm going to say, work on it. And then we'll go over it as you're working on it. Because I'm basically done, so we might as well do that. And if you've got the quiz all done, I'm sure you've got other things you can think of. Okay. So this is a very simple little page that simply says, add a row. That's all it says.
Okay, that's what the page says. It comes up with a button, and on click, I will do the function, and the function is here as opposed to external. And the button says add a row. So when I click on it, this is what gets done. Okay. So I set up a table up here, and I said the table has an ID of variable rows, is what I was. I've got var rows there, which was stood for variable rows. So I said, okay, the variable table equals document get element by ID. And then I said a row is going to be in this table, insert a row. And in cell one of the row, insert cell one. Make cell one of the row. There we go. Make cell one of the row. Okay. So I've got cell one, cell two, cell three of the row. And I'm going to put num one, num two, num three into those. And for some reason I didn't put a space in that one, but that's all right.
So let me show you how it works, and then we'll talk about why. So if I come over here and say add a row, there's num1, num2, num3. And if I click it again, 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 I keep seeing different rows. Okay? So it keeps adding a row to my table. So every time I click, it comes down here and says, okay, variable table, get that, and take table and insert a row. And the row it inserts is going to have inserting three cells, and those three cells are going to say number one, number two, number three. Okay.
So I am basically creating a table there.
And I wrote called this title invoice because it kind of struck me as how I would do an invoice. I would have to put a line in, and then if somebody bought something else, I'd make another line. If they bought something else, I'd make another line, and I'd keep going down. And so it was kind of like an invoice. Okay. The next one is very similar. I'm trying to actually remember the difference between the next one and the final one. I think this just had a header in it, is all. And it told you how many, the length. So this one basically is very, very similar. It's the one after this that I really want to look at. So if I add a row, it gives me the alert that I'm adding row one, gives me the alert that I'm adding row two, so I just went through and threw in the alerts, gives me an alert that I'm adding row three. When I click OK, it adds it. Okay, the one I want to look at is the next one, which is four. So this one, I start out with a column. And I can put item 1, 2, 3. I want that has a price of 45, and I want three of them, and add that as a row. And then item 2, 3, 4, and I want two of them, and they are 56. And then item 3, 4, 5, 5. Five, and I can keep adding a row in there with information that I come up with. Okay. So this one, I put in. It just basically ignored my second one there. Okay, what does somebody see wrong with this that I meant to go back and fix and thought I hit?
NBSP
doesn't have the semicolon on it. And it's a wonderful thing. Copy and paste is a wonderful thing. And I somehow copied and pasted, and I thought I had gone back and fixed that. So there's only one space in between. Because it pretty much ignores that, and we can fix that in a minute. But the point is that here I've got input type, and I've set up the form. And so I've set up a form there that they can do the information on. Okay? And I am going to take and put this into the table that I'm calling bare arrows. So I basically, instead of hard-coding things, I'm letting them put data into the fields, and then I'm moving what's in those fields up into the form.
and then after I've moved them into the form, I clear them out. If you didn't want to clear them out, you didn't have to, but I clear them out by putting the spaces in there. So I inserted some cells. I made the inner HTML equal to the value that I put in the box. So these boxes are called first, second, third. So down here I set up the cells, and then I said, okay, change the inner HTML of cell one to be the value that you put in at first. Change the inner HTML of cell two to be the value you put in on the second, and change inner HTML on cell three to be the value you put in under third. So I'm collecting the values and putting them in there. So again, I can make this interactive thing go on. Each time they click, I am putting another thing in, another row. Okay, when I first did this, I forgot about 1 and 0, and I head down here when I was inserting a row in count. I had count plus 1, but in fact, length tells me how many I have in there. And so I just want to use count because length starts at 1 and count starts at 0. So I've kind of taken care of the plus 1. Because if length tells me there's 3 in there, then I'm going to put it in the index of 3. Count is going to have an index of 3. And that actually is going to be the fourth row. Okay. So when I first wrote this, as I said, I made a mistake and I wrote count plus 1. And then I realized that that's not what I wanted because length is starting with 1. And count is starting with 0. Okay, so those NBSPs need to be changed if I want to space the thing out. I don't think I care enough, so I'm leaving them. But the bright red look certainly indicates that they're not happy with them. Could have sworn I saved those. But apparently I made the change and never saved. Okay, questions? Okay, then what you were supposed to be working on for today, and I was going to go over next, but instead I'm going to have you work on it next, is this quiz. You are supposed to be making a quiz. Okay, and this is what the quiz looks like, except it's impossible to read, but if you stare real hard, you can get it. But essentially, I wanted 5 questions, and I didn't much care what the 5 questions were. I wanted a mixture of radio buttons and checkboxes, and I said I wanted one of them where all of the checkboxes, or multiple of the checkboxes at least, had to be true. Okay, so I wanted one where either all of the checkboxes or multiple of the checkboxes had to be true. And in the line below that, I gave you some notes about this, where I said, okay, here's the quiz. Form name is question, and this is how I could set up one with a radio button. Question 1, and I put in the question. And I said, then you have to hit type equals radio, name equals question 1, and then true or false. And depending on which one you hit, it will then test. And the name has to be the same, because when you're using radio buttons, it uses the name. Yep. It uses the name to group. And so since it's using the name to group, I don't want to group the answers to question 1 and the answers to question 2 together.
I want question one to be separate and question two to be separate. So this makes the group, question one and question two, being the same. If you want to refer to them by individual names, put in an ID as well and give the ID a unique name. I just use the name. And for checkboxes, you have different names. And then someplace, okay. I thought I had an if statement too. Okay, I only had the if statement on the questions. So if questions, question one, check equals true, then I added 20 points to the average. Okay, so I went in and did the calculation, and if question one dot zero dot checked equals true, okay, so I had a radio button there with question one, and I now said it's a zeroth one. So this is the other way of getting at them. It's a group of question one. The zeroth one is the first, like true. If I put a one there, it would look at the second one down, which is false. Okay? So this is a way of saying this is a group. I want to look at the first one in the group. I want to look at the second one in the group. Well, I only want to look at the first one in the group. If that's checked, then I add 20 points to the average. Because I had five questions and they got 20 points if they got anyone right. Okay. So, I had wanted that for today. And obviously what I want and what I get are not the same thing. So I am going to basically say we've got another, we have an hour, so work on this. And if you have questions, ask. And I'll bring up part of the solution or something like that, sure. So please work on this assignment. If you have already got this done, find something else to work on, or go home. So you did the quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, and you did it, right? I think I did. I was so organized this weekend.
You did, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all fine.
As I said, I felt lousy enough that I didn't feel like doing anything else except sitting.
TV all day, so.
Mm-hmm.
Watch TV and did homework all day, so. Very productive.
Yeah, actually, I got a lot from you. Not as much as I got from him, but I got a lot from you.
I think I should have the answer, but I can't get it to work.
Freaking ID
number.
Answer to which what?
The PHP table. Oh, to try to
try to get the ID number to see.
Yeah, right.
Out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
And I'm not. Yeah, that's yours to figure out. It's not a big deal. As in, I'll still give you a good grade, but you might as well get it working.
I'm trying to put like the function affected rows in an if statement, and so if the row is affected by the ID number, it'll return this. But I can't get it. I don't know how to use it in an if statement.
Okay, I don't know either. That's an interesting approach. I mean, the way I think I've done it is do a select. And if you get that record when you do a select, then you know it already exists.
Yeah.
So you can't do a ad on it. In other words, give it a try the easiest way. There's a load of ways you could do it. But I think the easiest way is you look at the ID, you go do a select. If the select is successful and comes back with a record, then you say, record already exists. I mean, that's one possible way of doing it. But there's a load of ways you can...